She weighed 105 pounds, and she was going to do the clean and jerk. That's not a dating routine. It's not clean the jerk. It's the clean and jerk. And the clean and jerk is a very interesting. I have done that before. When we were in football, we had to do that lift. And the clean and jerk is you have to grab the bar right here, and you have to pull it up with such speed and get it back down to here. Then you have to stand up, and then you have to take it and get it above your head. Then you got to hold it for a couple of seconds and let it down. Now these ladies are 105 pounds, okay? 105 pounds wet, right? 105 pounds. The lady who won the gold lifted up and cleaned and jerked 251 pounds. She weighs 106 and she cleaned and jerked 251 pounds. You want to call her ma'am, that's for sure. I'll tell you what, I could not believe that. When I weighed 220 pounds when I was playing football, I cleaned and jerked 260 pounds, and I thought, wow, that was a lot of weight. This lady did 10 pounds less than me and weighed 120 pounds less than me. I could not believe it. It was absolutely incredible. And as they get it up and they're striving and they're fighting this weight and they're getting it up there and she stands up there and then the judges say, good, and she just drops. That'll be the funnest part, is just dropping that sucker. Boom, boom, boom. And then she just gets so excited, thank you, and all of that. And I'm going, wow. How much, you know how much energy you have to get it? I mean, and sling it around so fast, and there's so much the dynamics and physics of the whole thing that it's incredible that a person can do that. She's fighting against this weight. So many stories that we hear. We hear of one guy in the Olympics, Oscar from South Africa. He has no legs, and he's competing in the Olympics. He has no legs. He's competing in the Olympics. And what event is he competing in? I think he's competing in the 400 meter dash. No legs, 400 meter dash. You ask me, how can you do that? He has artificial legs that he has on. He's putting on artificial legs and he's running the 400 meters. Now it's so interesting because what you would think would be a disadvantage not having legs, they're worried now that it might be an advantage. Because the way they make the legs and make the little springs on the legs, you can actually probably run faster, maybe, depending on how you make them, you could run faster with artificial legs than you can with your own legs. Talk about taking an adversity and turning it around. They think now this adversity is his great advantage. Isn't it amazing that that's what God does in our life at times? We face adversity, and instead of being a great adversity, God can turn it around and make it one of your greatest advantages. This man runs with no legs, artificial legs. But isn't life a fight? This guy's fighting to compete, figuring out a way, trying to overcome adversity. You have no legs, therefore it's logical you cannot run. Oh yeah? I can run, and maybe I can run faster than you. I know he can run faster than me. But life is a fight. Life is a fight. I mean, you fight for a good parking spot, don't you, at times? You fight rush hour traffic, and in some cities, a lot more than 1 hour. In some cities, maybe a few seconds, like around here. You fight for the right to be heard. You fight for freedom. You fight with your brother or sister. There's a lot of fighting that happens. You fight to make sure that there's truth out there, that everything is correct. I was in Boise, and visiting my mom. I try to visit her at least once a year, and she's 88 years old. First thing in the morning, she always does a crossword puzzle, and she can answer all those crossword puzzles. She's amazing. So I get up with her, and we do crossword puzzles. Carrie gets in there too, and we're answering these crossword puzzles, and it's amazing. I'll say some crazy thing, and she goes, "Oh, I've had that before. That's idadodo." What? I mean, she just memorizes words. I, what does it mean? She goes, "I don't know, but I know that's what the answer is." And so here we are doing the puzzle, and Phone rings. She picks it up and she goes, "Oh, hi, Creighton." Creighton's talking to her, and so I'm just working on the puzzle, and she's chatting away there, and all of a sudden she goes, "Well, here's your dad." So I get the phone, and Creighton, I go, "Creighton?" He goes, "Hey, Dad." And I go, "Yeah?" He goes, "Hey, I am in Mexico, and I'm at the embassy in Mexico." And I'm going, "What? You're at the embassy in Mexico? How did you?" And I'm thinking, maybe this job, he works at Schweitzer, he's kind of doing a summer intern. I thought, maybe they put him in a plane and sent him away. Now, what are you doing there? "Well, hey, you need to talk to the sergeant here at the embassy. He wants to talk to you." And I go, and while this is happening, I pull my phone out and I start to dial. I dial Creighton while I'm talking to the guy. And then while I'm talking to the guy, I'm talking, and Creighton doesn't answer the phone quite quickly. And finally I'm talking. Somehow we lost connection and the guy hung up, and I thought, ah. So then I get the phone and there's Creighton. I go, "Creighton, where are you?" He goes, "I'm in Pullman at work." I go, "You are? Well, somebody just told me that they were you and they're in Mexico at the embassy." And so while I got him on the phone, I get the call back again. The phone rings again. I answer it. He goes, "This is Sergeant Jabrowski here at the Mexico embassy. And we have Creighton Vance here." And I go, "Oh, you do? Well, oddly enough, I have him on the other line over here." Click. Now, interesting. What happens is there's a scam that goes out where people look at your Facebook and learn all sorts of stuff about you, find out who your grandmother is, call your grandmother and tell them that you're in a predicament and have you wire funds to them. Now, you hear about that. It's just different when all of a sudden it happens to you, and it was funny. I thought, this person had a Hispanic accent, Creighton, and I thought, wow, he's been in Mexico a while, because I even said to the person, I go, "You don't sound like you, Creighton." But we have to fight to make sure that we're aware in life, that we're aware physically, that we're aware mentally, that we're fighting traffic and we're fighting with brothers. Everything seems like there's a fight to it. And my thought is this: life is a fight. Life is a fight, and Paul understood that. Paul wrote 1 Timothy 6:12, and he says this: "Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith." Paul wrote this. Paul went to prison, as you remember. He goes to Rome, and he's in prison for a while, a couple years there, about the AD 60. He's in prison about AD 62 to 60 something. He gets out of prison and he's wandering around. He's visiting a lot of his churches. He leaves Timothy in Ephesus and he goes on to Macedonia. And from Macedonia, he's writing back to Timothy. And what's happening in this day and this age is all sorts of adversity is happening. There's all sorts of adversity. There's false teachers all over the place trying to persuade and dissuade people out of Christianity, in and out of all sorts of weird things. Gnosticism is running rampant at the time. Persecution by government officials. Nero, in a couple of years, is going to burn down half of Rome, and then he's going to blame it on the Christians, and then he's going to start persecuting them even more and more and burning a lot of them alive. There's a lot of stuff happening because they were Christians. There was adversity. Christians, adversity, and Paul knows all of this is going on, knows all of this adversity, all of this junk is happening to the church. And he writes to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he says, "Timothy, fight the good fight." He didn't say, "Oh man, it's a bummer. There's all sorts of, it's bad. Hey, Christian, oh geez, maybe we should back out. Maybe we should get out of this Christian. Maybe we shouldn't even do it anymore. It's hard. It's difficult. We're being persecuted. Let's just quit. Let's try something else. Let's just bag it all." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Fight the good fight." Life is a fight. Your Christian walk is a fight. And Paul understood that, and he tells Timothy, and he tells us via Timothy, that we're to fight this good fight. Fight a good fight. Don't fight a bad fight. Fight a good fight. Don't fight a bad fight. Don't be in a fight you shouldn't be in, but be in a good one. Fight it good. Fight it for the Lord. Fight it for the kingdom. Fight it to advance Christianity. Fight it for something bigger than yourself. But fight, he says. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be dissuaded. But fight this good fight. And he goes on to say, fight the good fight of faith. This fight is about faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Lay hold. What he's asking is, lay hold. It means to grab onto, to hold tight and don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go of your eternal life. Don't let go of your Christianity that via it and your relationship with Jesus Christ allows you entrance into heaven. I know it's difficult here, but you know what? We're going to triumph, but there's also a reward for those that hang on, baby. There is a heaven. There's a reality. There is an eternity with me. And I know there's adversity. I know you don't always understand it, but if you'll trust me, I'll use it. And I'll change a world for the kingdom of God. What would happen if Paul would have said, you know, it's really tough right now. Let's all bag out. We wouldn't have Christianity today, except those who fought hard to bring it to this point. Lay hold, grab hold of eternal life. To go through this life and to miss out on the next one, eternal life, that would be disastrous, Paul knew. That would be disastrous. We must fight to stay on the straight and narrow path. It's amazing. I think there's a pull in our world to pull us off. There's a magnetism of the world that tries to suck us off the straight and narrow path. Jesus says we're supposed to walk on that straight and narrow, the straight and narrow path. There's a path that leads to eternal life, but it's straight and it's really narrow. It's straight and it's really narrow. And it's interesting that there's a... I have a little clip about a person walking this straight and narrow.
And, well, allow us to welcome Nick Walenda to Canada. As he crosses over the border again, some 60% of the way or so through his walk, as he makes his way uphill, he'll be doing so in Canadian airspace. And for those of you wondering, especially on social media, Twitter and Facebook, yes, Nick Walenda, in addition to that 40-pound bouncing pole, is also traveling with his passport.
As we want to check in with his father now, Terry. Terry, it's Hannah and Josh. Would now be a good time to check in with Nick?
You know, I think Nick's ready to answer a couple more questions.
Okay. Nick, tell us what has been most challenging for you thus far.
You know, that mist was thick, and it was hard to see at times. It's been a challenge, and it's all been visual more than anything. You know, it's so important, as in the earlier piece, that my vision, and I'm able to see and able to focus. And it was very hard to focus. There was so much moving around me. Wind going one way, mist going another. It wasn't pretty, that's for sure. Very uncomfortable for a while. And that mist was, that wind was wild. You know, I'd heard all the stories, but to actually feel it, you know, it would come at me one way and then hit me from the front and then hit me from the back. And it was definitely quite a challenge. And you know, nothing that I wasn't prepared for, but more than I expected, that's for sure.
Nick, if this was a race, and make no mistake, it most certainly is not, but you'd be rounding that turn and making your way home. As you do that, I wonder, we've said, and it was all postulating, all theory, but that you didn't...
Don't give up. Don't give in. But stay on the straight and narrow path. The straight and narrow path. I think about this guy, Nick Walenda, as he's walking across this tightrope. This straight and... You can't get any more straight and narrow than a tightrope, can you? What does he have to do to walk that? I think there are three things. Number one, he has to concentrate. I'll tell you, he's concentrating. He's not going, hey, dude, you know, all over the place. He is concentrating about his walk. He's concentrating on his walk. Secondly, he's purposeful. He is very purposeful about where he puts his next foot, don't you think? He's not just, hey, wherever, I'm just going to go all over the place. He is very purposeful about where he's going to put his next foot. And then where he's going to put the next one. And where he's going to put the next one. I can't even walk up here. And where he's going to put the next one. And where he's going to put the next one. He's very purposeful about where he steps. If you want to walk the straight and narrow in Christianity, as Paul encourages to keep fighting, then we have to concentrate and be very purposeful about what you're doing with your life and how you're stepping. Where's the next step going? There's a lot of adversity, wind and rain and moisture, all that was up there, to trying to blow and knock him off. And there's an enemy out there who is trying to knock you off your path. But he was purposeful about where he was going to step. And thirdly, he had a balancing rod. He had a balancing rod. And when I think about balance, a balancing rod, I thought about three thoughts. Number one, he had the word. By the way, Nick is a Christian. If you saw him go across there, he was, and they try to edit it out every once in a while because they were doing it live. He'd walk across and he'd go, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord." I mean, he's just talking to God the whole time while he's doing this walk. Talking to the Lord while he's walking. We should be talking to the Lord as we walk the walk. But he's got this balancing rod, the Word of God. We need the Word. We need to have that to balance our walk, to balance our steps. So I'm balancing it with the Word of God, not just what everybody says out there, but the Word of God. Secondly, prayer. He's talking to God. Prayer is that communion with the Lord. His balancing rod that kept him on the straight and narrow was the Word of God. It was prayer. And thirdly, it was others. There were others, people talking to him saying, "How you doing? Where are you at? Here's the next step. How you feeling? Are you going okay?" He was talking to somebody else as well. His balancing rod, I believe. And as Christians, we need to concentrate. We need to be purposeful. We need to have that balancing rod, which is the Word, prayer, and others, so we can fight that good fight. That good fight. The word "good" there means valuable or virtuous. It's a good fight. Secondly, life is a fight. Secondly, the fight is not strange. It's not a strange fight. I like this, what Peter says. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." Wow, all this adversity is happening. This is strange. This is not good. I became a Christian so life would be good, right? Didn't we? I wanted life better than where it was. My life wasn't going well. I became a Christian because I wanted my life to be better. Then we have adversity. This isn't good. I thought I came to Christ in order for life to be good. It is good. Adversity is good. Remember, they can chop your legs off and you can run faster. They can get rid of some of the dead weight in our lives and maybe we could pursue God even better. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. This isn't weird. Hey, I came to Christ so nothing would ever go wrong. Christianity's not working because this is bad. It's not good. This thing is happening to me. No, actually, it's probably working out very well, your Christianity. It's all right because you have to fight. Because the more you fight, the stronger you get. Fight the good fight. He goes on to say, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." That word "rejoice" is the word "kairo." And it means to be cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. I'm well off. This adversity, this fiery trial is happening, but I am well off. I'm going to be happy. And there's an important point here I'm going to bring out. That when adversity happens to us, what happens to you? When adversity happens to us, what happens to us in our countenance, in our walk? Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get down? Do you ever start to worry? Man, I do those things. But he says here, don't think it's strange. It's not strange. It's okay for your Christianity. This is good. It's going to work out okay. They're going to take your legs, but you're going to run faster. It's going to be awesome. Watch me. Trust me. Be calmly happy because you're going to be well off. Lighten up and enjoy the journey. Lighten up and enjoy the journey. We know where we're going, hopefully. I'm going to heaven. I just don't know how I'm getting there, for sure. I mean, outside of Christ. I understand that, okay. But I don't know all the steps that will happen in my life before I get there. All of them. So he says, hey, relax. It's going to be good. You know where you're going. We're going to take a few side adventures. But it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Relax. Enjoy the journey. Number three. Thinking about this, rejoice. Thirdly, I put, today is a good day for a fight. Say that with me. Today is a good day for a fight. Do we really believe that? How many would like to have a great fight today? We have one. Okay, two. Great. All right, good. Most of us don't really want a fight. We're not really picking a fight. We're not really trying to have adversity come. We're not going, Lord, my life is too wonderful. Please bring adversity. Lord, my life is too awesome. Everything's going great. Please mess it up some. None of us say that. But today is a good day for a fight, should one come. I love this, and I've been praying this in Psalm 118:24. Talk to a couple of folks too who are doing. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. I'm going to be cheerful, calmly, happy, and well off, and be glad in it. This is a day the Lord has made. We will, what does it say? Say it with me. One more time. Tell your face it. And be. Rejoice and be glad. Today, this day, God made it. God made this day, knew this day from the beginning to the end of time, knew there was going to be this day, knew everything was going to happen in this day, and knew he was going to equip you with everything you needed to accomplish this day in an awesome way. So he says, this is the day I've made, so whatever happens, rejoice and be glad. I am starting the day, first thing I'm doing, hitting the knees. This is the day the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad. And then when I face an adversity, bom, 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 instead of letting that do to me, I just kind of go, bom, 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 bom. I'm supposed to rejoice. I'm supposed to be well off. I'm supposed to be calmly happy. When adversity happens, that's the only kind of happy you can have, is calmly happy. When great things happen, you can be robustly happy. But it's that calmly happy. Right. But facing the day knowing, okay, Lord, you made this day. You knew what was going to happen in it. You knew this adversity, tragedy, fight, thing would come my way. But Lord, you are such a loving and caring Father that you have made provision for me for this day. Therefore, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it. Trust him that what he throws at you today, you can hit it out of the park. So swing away. Fourthly, our fight is not against people, but against the devil. Realize that when a lot of adversity happens and people do some strange things, that in a lot of cases the enemy has put them up to it. The enemy has deceived people and hurt people. And I mean, understand that you're not fighting people. You're fighting the spirit. You're fighting the enemy. You're fighting the devil. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take up for you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're fighting against a foe who doesn't want you to go to heaven, who doesn't want you to succeed. There really is a fight happening. There is a force called God. There is a force called the devil. And there is a devil trying to stop the good things of God. But God told us, hey, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The wiles of the devil. Now, this isn't like the wiles who are in our church, all right? They're good wiles. The wiles. That word wiles is an interesting word. Wiles. It's methodeia, and it means travesty or trickery. It's the word where we get our English word method today. Method. The enemy has a method of trickery. He has a scheme. He has a plan. He has a battle plan. A method. Methodology. There is a, if you will, there is a method to his madness. There is a method to his madness. There is a method to his destruction. There is a way he is trying to purposely drag you away off the straight and narrow. His purpose is to get you off the straight and narrow way. Take your balance beam, your balancing bar, to get you off of that to this broad way, to this wide way. And it seems like it should be an okay way, isn't it? I mean, other people are traveling that way and they're not getting hurt. I mean, the enemy so makes the broad way look so awesome that at times I've known Christians who have taken themselves off the straight way and went on the broad way and have lost out all the way. Who finally said, you know, I don't know about that. They were on the straight way. They got deceived onto the broad way. And now there are no way. It happens. Stay on the straight way. The straight. The narrow. And remember that the enemy, he doesn't play fair. He uses lying, trickery, all sorts of stuff to get us on that broad way. Number five. Remember that sometimes, you have that up there? Remember that sometimes God does the fighting for you. That's awesome. As we're in this fight, this Christian fight, this walk, this life that's a fight, a lot of tough things that will happen, but we fight and persevere through it, that sometimes God just isn't going, hey, fight, swing harder. Hey, come on, keep going. He says, hey, sit down. Sit down, take it easy, grab a drink, sit down here. I'm going to fight this one for you. I like that, don't you? I like when Dad gets up and he starts swinging and beating up all the other kids on the block. It's awesome. It's awesome. Hey, look at my dad. My dad can beat your dad. He can walk, knock that snot out of the rest of you here. In Exodus, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see. Here they are coming out of Egypt. They're at the Red Sea. The Egyptians now decide to come after them. They don't know which way to go. God says to Moses, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. You will see again no more forever. God does an amazing work. The Lord, I love this, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight. God goes, hey, you guys are all here. Little word, watch this. And he rubs his hands together, gets all excited and goes, and all of a sudden a pillar of fire comes down and the Egyptians don't know what's going on. And then he goes, hey, watch this one. And opens up the Red Sea. Dries it all off ahead of him, makes sure it's all really nice and dry and says, hey, go ahead. And they all get on the other side and they get going. This is pretty cool. This is awesome. They get over onto the other side and he goes, hey, watch this now. Hey, Egyptians! He removes the cloud of the pillar of fire. Thank you. It's gone. Egyptians come flying after them and he goes, hey, watch this! And it drowns them all. All their problems, all of their issues are taken care of. And you know, sometimes God can take care of all of those issues in just a moment. In just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we're just to watch Dad fight for us. But at other times, Dad wants to watch you fight. And the wisdom is in knowing the difference. Is this God's fight? Is this my fight? If it's yours, fight with all your might. If it's God, then pray with all your heart. God wants to fight for you. Number six, our final point. Finish the fight. Finish the fight. I love these words in 2 Timothy. Paul wrote 1 Timothy to Timothy in Ephesus. Paul's in Macedonia, but Paul gets captured again. Somehow he goes back to Rome to prison again. This is right before they're going to execute Paul. Execute Paul. Right before his very last words, very last book that Paul ever wrote was 2 Timothy. Last words he's going to write because he knows this is the end. And he says this. I have, notice the past tense here, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, there's going to be a day where we're going to stand on that same threshold, that we're going to move from this life to the next. And Paul knew it was going to happen. And Paul knew this. A lot of adversity, a lot of tough things. A lot of tough things in Christianity. Things to stand for. Things to rise up for. Things to fight for. It's been hard. It's been difficult at times, but it's been awesome at times as well. And he says this, but I have fought. I fought. I finished. I kept the faith. Oh God, let us all be able to answer those three questions with that great deal of confidence, Father. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to, he's speaking to us folks, but also to all of you who have loved his appearing. Are you fighting? Are you fighting? That word fought here is a different word than he used the first time. This word is agonizomai, and it means to struggle. I fought, I've struggled, but I've kept the faith. I love the three things here. I have fought. Paul was a fighter. Regardless of the cost, he kept swinging. He kept moving. He kept going. Whether they put him in prison, put him in a good time, put him in a bad time, it didn't matter to him. He came out swinging and moving and going for the kingdom of God with everything that he had all the time. He was a fighter. And only a fighter could go through all that he did for his Lord, shipwreck and all of the persecutions and all of the problems and all of the issues that most people would likely not want to go through. And actually, most likely, or many of us, would think that if all of that happened to Paul, happened to us, that we must be out of the will of God. If all the things that happened to Paul happened to us, I think I must be out of the will of God because all of this is coming after me. But he was right in the very center. He fought the good fight. Second, he says, I have finished. Every good baseball team has a good closer, except for Seattle. No, I'm just kidding. Every good baseball team, if they're worth their salt, you have a great closer. Hey, we've won. A great finisher. We're there. Throw the last couple of pitches. Those last few. Close well. We've won. Close it out well. Paul would not quit. He was just not a quitter. He didn't know what the word meant. The word was not in his lexicon or his vocabulary. Paul didn't know how to quit. He just kept going. Will we keep going? Will we finish well? I love the story. There's a beautiful statue in Mexico that bears the unusual title, In Spite Of. That's the name of the statue. The name was given to honor the sculptor, Jesus F. Contreras, rather than the subject in the stone. It happened this way. During the time he was creating the statue, the sculptor suffered a medical accident due to a poorly treated cancer, and he lost his right hand. He was determined to finish the statue, so much that he learned how to chisel with his left hand. So the statue was named In Spite Of, because in spite of his handicap, the sculptor completed his work. Triumphing in life, in spite of life's challenges. Isn't that what God's wanting us to do? And that sometimes it looks like I lost my legs, God goes, I have something better, faster, more awesome. When travesty happens to you and difficult things come, you go, how are we ever going to rebound? God's saying, there's something better here. Fight the good fight. Finish well. And then he said, I have kept. Paul was a keeper. Paul had kept the faith. You know, without faith, it was impossible to please God. He said, I kept the faith. I can just see him. Paul saying, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. But I kept the faith, because he knew that without faith, it was impossible to please God. And he wanted to know, Jesus, God, I kept it, because I wanted to please you. I kept the faith. I kept it strong. I moved it in my family. I pushed it down generations. I modeled Jesus Christ. I honored you. And people picked up my example, and more people now know you. I kept the faith. Oh God, I kept it. Because I know that in keeping faith, that's what pleases. That's what pleases you. And my goal, oh Lord, was to please you. I fought. I finished. I kept the faith. I kept the faith. The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. The winner was not the runner who finished first. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. With his torch still lit. We will all finish out our trek here in life. There will be a day when they'll be doing prayers over you and you'll be in a box. The issue isn't just finishing. The issue is finishing with your faith, finishing with that torch lit and bright and awesome. I have fought a good fight. I finished the race. My torch, my faith is still burning bright. I'm ready, oh God, to meet you. To meet you. Grab somebody's hand as we close. Nobody makes it to the Olympics by accident, and nobody makes it to heaven by accident either. We got to contend for it. We got to be a contender. We got to be a fighter. We got to go for it. Lord, help us. Help me. Help me, Lord, to fight a good fight. Help me, Lord, to finish the race, the course, the events, the things, the issues, the problems, the victories, all that we'll go through as we walk that straight and narrow rope. Lord, help me to keep when I get to the end, there's my torch with the light burning so bright. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, you know, when that's all over, I can't help but think in the Olympics, you know, when it's all over, you get the medals the medal, and you see your flag go up and the national anthem go, and you're on the platform and you bow down, and they put the medal on you, and they give you the roses and they give you the reward and all of that. That day is going to happen for us Christians. That day is going to happen. We'll be on some sort of a platform or at the pearly gates or somewhere, and there'll be an anthem to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will be going on. And He's going to reward you. You're going to say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful." I just don't want them to say, "Hey, medium rare." Or medium. No, I want this steak. "Well done. Well done. Well done. Fight the fight. Finish your race. Keep your faith burning bright for Jesus Christ. For He will reward you in that day." If you don't know Jesus Christ, can I encourage you, come on up here. People will pray for you. If you don't know this Jesus, come on up. If you're struggling with your faith, if it's hard in your fight, you know what? We need other people. He didn't just say do it on your own. We need others to help us in that fight. Come up here. They'll pray for you. If you want to spend time with the altar, do that. The most important thing that we'll ever do is to live our lives for Jesus Christ. Do it to the max. Fight hard. Finish well. Keep your faith. In Jesus' name, God bless. Oh, last thing. My wife told me. If you're new to our congregation this summer, please come and join us in the north lobby. Out in the yard out there for some refreshments. We want to get to know you and say hi. Since we've been gone a lot this summer, we want to be able to connect with you and let you know how important you are to us. God bless you.